Morning, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Keep Brother Ken, his family in prayer. Brother Ken's father passed away this weekend, so we ask Brother Kennedy if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, dear Lord Jesus Christ, O merciful Father,
yes.
We look to you this morning again, O God.
Yes.
As we come to you, Lord, we ask you, God, to forgive our sins and our iniquities. We ask you to wash us with thy word, O God.
Yes.
We ask you to touch every soul today, Father.
Yes.
You know the needs of each and every one, O God.
Yes.
Hands went up. Hearts were bowed before you, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, we pray for our brother Ken, Lord, his family, going through tribulation, suffering, pain, anguish. Lord, you know all things.
Yes.
You are the comforter, Lord.
Yes.
May you comfort them.
Yes.
May you give them strength, O God.
Yes.
Help them in this time of need, O God.
Yes.
And Lord, you know the needs of each and every one here today.
Yes.
I pray you touch every soul, O God.
Yes.
Bless your word this morning, O God, to our souls.
Yes.
Help our brother to get himself out of the way.
Yes.
Use him, O God, I pray.
Yes.
For your glory and for your honor.
Yes.
Bless all that we say and do and think.
Yes.
In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 13, and then we'll continue on through the chapter, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, says God the Father, to his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. This is Christ we're talking about. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. Amen. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20 through 23 talks about the reconciliation through Christ. And then verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Amen.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Amen. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, and it's very rich, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So we're going to continue on in this subject, the manifestation of Christ, the manifestation of Christ. So Christ manifesting himself in you and I, the full manifestation of Christ. That is our desire because that's his desire. So in the lessons that we've talked about since the end of May up to now was different things that the Lord was telling us through the message of the hour, through our prophet, to position ourselves to let Christ manifest himself through us. And so it is a part of giving ourselves, and the bottom line is we give up, basically. We surrender ourselves completely to Him. And so easier said than done, of course. But we got to see through the Word of God that allows us to be able to see that mystery, that allows us to be able to open ourselves so that Christ can flow freely through us. It's a changing of our mindset. It's a changing of our desires. It is a stepping back. It is allowing the Word of God to flow freely through us. It's an obedience to the Word of God. It's obedience to the Word of God wholeheartedly, that we don't take it as something that it's something that's good to live by. It's a code of rules, but it's something that is life to us. It is more than life to us. And so when we embrace it in such a way that it is means more than anything to us, that's when Christ can really change us into what He wants us to be. It's a changing of our thinking and all kinds of things. So He is, you see, when you look at the Garden of Eden, what happened there, and everything was perfect, and then when sin came in, everything started to degenerate and fall. But when Christ died on the cross, then He reversed it, and now we're going through the redemption process of going back up this way. And so God is slowly beginning to put everything back into place that was there from the beginning. And so the difference is this bride will not fail. Amen. So because God's Word said she would not fail. And so when God's Word says that, then you can take it to the bank. And so nothing else matters, what you can see or you feel. So you know for a certainty that this will happen. Amen. So you will get there, right? Just don't let it be hard and difficult. Just come easy, right? Amen. So, and last Wednesday, we were talking about being a prisoner. So going in line with surrendering ourselves completely to God, and we just touched on it a little bit. And so there's a few things that just wanted to bring out with that as we continue on. Then we're going to hit a few other subjects here. But if you recall, when in the message or in the scripture in Philemon, when he said, Paul, a prisoner, he was not meaning a prisoner that I'm in chains, I'm in a cell, but he was a prisoner to Jesus Christ. And whatever Jesus Christ wanted him to do, that would he do, and he couldn't do anything else. And so if something was trying to take him outside of the Word of God, he couldn't do it. He was frozen from it. So he was a prisoner. Now, we are going on, and if you want to catch up on some of those things, you may by just listening to the message of prisoner. But there's a few things that I just wanted to see to bring out here. Now, he says this in paragraph 55, always don't judge your life by how much power you have to perform miracles. And we don't judge ourselves by how much knowledge you have of the Word. But always judge yourselves, look back and taking inventory of what kind of a fruit that the life you presently now live now is bearing, see? So don't look at all these signs and different things, but see the life that is being produced. Now I'm going to skip over here. Delving a little bit deeper in this subject. Now we touched on it a little bit about the demon-possessed girl, but this one, there are a few things that I'd like to go deeper by God's grace. Paul was correctly a prisoner. He wasn't making any wrong statement. He was trained by the Holy Ghost, again, to wait on the Word. Now, he had been trained one way, but God had trained him another way now. We know that he was trained under Gamaliel intellectually, knowledge a certain way, but God changed that. But God trained him another way now. He was trained by the Holy Spirit to wait upon the Lord, no matter what his ambitions was, no matter what his desires or goals were. Do you all have goals and desires? We do, yes. We want certain things to happen with our family. We want certain things to happen maybe professionally. We want certain things to happen. There's goals, there's ambitions, there's desires. But God, and there's nothing wrong with those ambitions, but they must not conflict with the Word of God. Amen. And they must not cloud our judgment and our decision-making to go lean in that direction rather than the will of God that God has for us. And so when those things start to crowd our mind, then we need to put them away. We need to really separate from those things and totally give up on those areas. One day, Paul and Silas coming down the street in a certain city where they was holding a revival, and a little demon-possessed girl kept following him, crying out after him. And no doubt but what Paul knew that he had the authority as an apostle to rebuke that evil spirit out of that woman. But did you notice? He waited day after day until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "This is the hour." Amen. So he was tempted. He had the power. He had the authority to do it. But he didn't hear from higher headquarters, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So he waited on that. Sometimes we're itching to do something, but we've got to wait. Is this the time? Is this what God wants us to do? "This is the hour." Then he said, "Thou spirit, come out of her." See, he knew to wait on the Lord. And there is where so many people today bring a reproach upon the word. They go with an ambition. How many revivals has been left flat because of a thing like that? Because the evangelists don't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. So many times we think we're doing a service to God, but it's not the will of God. And so it may be seem right. It may be we're dealing with the word of God, but it may not be the timing that he has. It may not be the place that he has. Some of them say, "Come over here," and they go right now because the association said go. And the Holy Spirit would say something different. Remember, Brother Bram talked about when he was talking about the final stage, and he mentions it, the third pull. He said, "Sometimes I always get caught with a bunch of preachers." And so the preachers would take him another direction that he was supposed to go. Remember the story in Africa when he got caught up with those bunch of preachers, and it prevented him from doing that will of God, that perfect will of God. And so there was a reason that he said that. And so maybe even good intentions, you know. Brother Bosworth, he was a man of God, but he didn't see the will of God for that hour. Amen. And so we have got, it's an individual affair. God speaks to us as individuals, not as a group. And so God may be telling you something, and it's different even by what the ministers or the pastors say as far as the direction you need to go. You need to follow what the will of God is for your particular life. Sometimes God doesn't reveal to the pastor where you should live, where you should go, what job you should have. That's a personal revelation to you and I. Amen. And so sometimes we want to get advice, but we've got to be careful and follow the will of the Lord. Amen. Now he said this, and the Holy Spirit would say something different. "Yet the ambition of the man to become the state presbyter or something another." Now remember, this can be deceiving. But sometimes the devil tries to trick us into some type of power aside from the word of God. You know, we know that the basic part of this was tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness to have power aside from the will of God. And so even ministers, it says state presbyter, people that are part of the church would try to get you into a position of power or some type of power without being the will of God. So power aside from the will of God is not what God wants. It's not the will of God. Some bishop or something would pull him. "You must go." And yet he knows better. So that's why God hates denominations, because that's what denominations do. It's man's ideas to try to move people to do certain things by man's will. And so remember the number of denominations, 666, the number of a man. That's why in the seals he said we've got to get away from our own thinking. Because God's thinking is so far away from man's thinking. Yet he knows better. The Holy Spirit saying, "Go here." See, he's yoked to his organization. He's a prisoner to the organization. But if he's yoked to Christ, he's led by the Holy Ghost. He's yoked a prisoner. Don't make any difference what anything else says. It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He hears only the voice of God, and he speaks only when it comes out. He says nothing. I'm going to skip over because of time. Now, in saying this, there was Brother Branham makes this comment. Now you say, somebody else was saying this, Brother Branham, you're condemning what you said Sunday about you've been waiting all this time. And but you remember, it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me up there on the road, said, I'm sending you back amongst the sick and afflicted. See, it's obedient to the Holy Spirit. I didn't go until he told me to do it. I was waiting for thus saith the Lord, till I got thus saith the Lord. Now that's different, see? Now that makes a difference, yes. There's a couple more things that I want, so we can get this in our mind, that we've got to completely get away from our own thinking. And remember, when we get away from our own thinking, it is actually taking us to humbleness. It's actually taking us down as far as the world's eyes. But in the scriptures and in the message of the hour, the way up is down. And so if you remember in God hiding in simplicity, he says that, you know, the way up is down. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. Now, before I say about Moses, I'd like to make the statement that God always has to take any man that will serve him truly to be his prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got, everything that he has, everything, his life, soul, body, will, ambitions, and everything else, and become a prisoner of Christ, who is the Word, to serve God. How many of us can do that? How many of us have a desire to do that? Amen. You might have to walk contrary in your better judgment. Maybe in a certain organization, you might think that they could lift you up and give you something great that you might flash. But what do you find yourself? You find yourself defeated after a while, until God can get a man that's willing to become a prisoner to him. Now, Moses got all this training. He knew that he was supposed to be the deliverer, because he knew he was so smart, so educated, so intellectual, till nobody, he could even teach the Egyptians. Oh, such a scholarship. And he knew he was born to do this and had trained with great ambition to do this. And his mom told him this. The mom never necessarily told him how to do it, but she told him he was to be deliverer. In Moses' time, he took him out in the desert. He kept him out there for 40 years and stripped him of all of his theology and all of his ambitions. Oh, what a time that he could look back and see his failure, and how we tonight ought to do the same thing when we see our ambition. We talked about on Wednesday that all that education, that generalship, that training, all it could produce was the killing of one Egyptian. But when you see the contrast, when Moses was completely taken out of the way, amen, he couldn't even feel like he could speak. He felt like he was a failure. He felt like he could do nothing. And then God told him to take this rod. And we know that the greatest nation on earth was conquered through that man. With all the wealth of knowledge and training, he could only defeat one Egyptian. But with God and taking himself out of the way, he could defeat the whole country. Now he says here, he says, you see, instead of staying on that word, harness to it, what do they do? We're talking about the denominations. He started with their own denominational theory, which had already failed, and tried to manufacture something to look like the truth. What have we got tonight but a nation full of organized people who deny the scriptures of God? And we know the spirit of denomination is man-made thinking. So you don't have to necessarily be in the Baptist, the Seventh Day, or etc. But if you have your own way of thinking, amen, and you put that above the Word of God, then you have a denominational thinking. Amen. He says, they call it mental telepathy. They wouldn't permit you to mention one word of serpency, eternal security, and the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed and proved to be the Word. I made challenge after challenge to come and prove it to me wrong. What have they got? The same thing that Luther had, the rest of them. See, slew an Egyptian. What was it? Maybe he made some man stop stealing, or maybe live true to his wife. But what did you make him out of that? A church member. Come and join our group. See, they're trying to manufacture something. He says this. He said, what have we done? Slew about one Egyptian. That's right. And we've tried, we've strained, we've paid, we've labored. go all night long in prayer meetings till we had no voice. So just because you do these things doesn't mean that this is going to bring about the will of God. You know, you put all this work into it. He even talks about all night prayer meetings and labor, and you're trying to push the, and you're doing it yourself, right? And God will let you go to that point until you give up. And you come to a frustration point and you know that you can't do it yourself anymore. And many of us have gone through that when we're trying to do all we can. And we want the best. You know, we want our kids to be this way. We want our homes to be this way. We're trying to make an effort this way, but it's not really the will of God, and we're not really giving it up to Him. And so He'll let us go to a certain point till we feel like we're a complete failure. And then we go to God and say, God, I cannot do it anymore. I need You. I don't know what to do. And that's when God can come in. And so when we get to the end of our rope and we realize that there's nothing that we can add to God, that's when God steps in. He said, and try to manufacture something and soup up something and all these different and these type of things and find it to be a total failure. We need a going back to the desert. Right, yes, sir, camp meetings and struggles. Why not just give up? That's what you ought to do, see? Go back and give up. Why have we done the same thing they did? Same thing Moses did. It doesn't do any good. After 40 years, he found himself a prisoner to the word of God. What do we try to do? Where are we at, brothers and sisters? When the blessing come out of the manifestation of these great things that God has told us about, how that we must be born again, how we receive the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the name of Jesus Christ, and all these things here, you see, instead of staying with that word, harnessed to it, what do? Okay, they start their own denomination. Now he goes into the story of Paul and how he goes into the same exact thing. So he was built up to a certain way, and we know that he realized that he was a failure. This was not going anywhere. You know, he was trained a certain way. Gamaliel, he was the best teacher of that day in the Gospels. He memorized the scriptures, and then he went, and he was going to put the Christians in prison. But something got to him, and Brother Branham talks about when he saw Stephen go down, and how he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lay not this sin to their charge. Something was eating Paul up. Perhaps he saw that Stephen had something he didn't have. You know, I've been following God all my life, but now I'm humbled. I don't have what he has. How could he do that? There's something there. And then God was bringing him in. He was drawing him in. And then he met the pillar of fire. And then he knew and he met God. And he realized that all that he had built up was for nothing. And he had to go back into the wilderness to learn it all. And so he spent 3.5 years in the desert to find God and get the revelation of God that he thought he had. So he had to unlearn everything. So everything I do before, I had to come down. And then God humbled him into such a way. And we know what happened to Paul. And he brought Joseph, the man of God in the Old Testament, to a certain way. He brought him all the way down, put him in prison. You know, he thought he was supposed to be this great person. You know, I had this dream. I was going to be above my father. I was going to be above my mother. I was going to be above my brothers and things. And, you know, I had these visions of what was going to happen. And God was really speaking to me. And I was a spiritual person in my life. But look at what's happened to me. You know, he took him down because he had to take something out of him. Amen. He had to make him feel, you know, he had no big part of this. You know, take him, humble him. Not just put him in Potiphar's house as a servant. But he also took him further down into prison for something he did not do wrong. But he was accused wrongfully. How many of us have been accused wrongfully? What did Joseph do? Did he try to prove his innocence? Something told him not to do that. And so what about Jesus? Did he prove his innocence? No, he did not. And so there's many times that God wants us to be prisoners. And, you know, we have a desire to say something, a desire to prove that we're right. But God wants us to stay in this because he's got a plan. He's got something that he's trying to manifest. And so God was doing something to Joseph. He was building a character within him. He was building him, separating him from his own thinking, his own ideas, his own ambitions. And he was taking him to a low point in his life. But while he was in this prison, nobody was seeing him. God hiding in simplicity. And then all of a sudden, he raised him up in power. And so God knew that he could not put him in power until he had beaten all this stuff out of him, that he had a character in there. And every child of God, God is testing and trying to build them to a character of Christ. And so when they get to a certain point, then he will give them power. He will bring them into the adoption. He will bring them. It's the same thing as you writing the check. It's the same thing that God is speaking when you speak. That's what he's bringing us to, brothers and sisters. Now I'm going to shift a little bit gears here. I'm going to read something. Let me see here. Let's get through that. If you'll bear with me here. Skipping along. You know, the message is so rich and pure. There's just, it's so deep, you know, and so much to it. Amen. I am going to move. Okay. Now, question and answer, 1954. Now, wouldn't you all like to have a real Bible church? A real Bible church where all the spiritual gifts were set in order, everything making manifest just exactly the way it should be. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now you're going to have to sacrifice. Not money. You're going to have to sacrifice what? Some of your own ideas. You're going to have to sacrifice some time in prayer. You're going to have to sacrifice maybe your stubborn will to break down in humility. See? You're going to have to. The whole Christian move is sacrificial. So this whole prosperity gospel, and you're going to have 10 Cadillacs and nice house and everything's going to be just pleasant, it's not according to the word. That's not what I'm seeing. And so we're saying, you know, this is a little bit difficult, but if we truly have the love of God in our hearts, then everything that God wants from us, that will we want. That's what our desire is. And so God knows, you know, how mature each one of us are, though. So he's not going to take you from ABC to calculus right away. But he's going to give us, he won't give us more than we can bear. So when we're talking about these things, everybody's on a different stage. And so God brings us, he won't exceed what we can, because we look at our trials that we've had and some of the trials that we're going through right now, we don't think we could have gone through before. But God has made us stronger through each of those trials to be able to endure those things. Are we all together? Amen. The whole Christian move is sacrificial. He that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Is that right? How often do you have to sacrifice? Every day, Paul said, he died daily. Every day he died. There's one more place here I would like to bring up. God's grace, if you all will bear with me. Okay. Now, in Look Away to Jesus, 1963, December 29th, Brother Branham makes this statement. If you all will bear with me for a little bit, just a few quotes. So now I'm going to say something to you, now that I haven't said all along, and that is a thing that we have looked forward to for so long. For at least many years, 4 or 5 or maybe longer. Now, how many wants everything that God has for us? Amen. So, the Word of God in the Scriptures in Revelation 10 says the Word of God, as John 8, the book, the open book, it was both sweet and bitter, right? But we take it all. Amen. Now, he says this, the third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now, remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's an existent, and I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened. So it could, identify its presence among you. And we know that the third pull, as the message of the hour says, it is the very revelation of Christ. It's the opening of the Word. It is the opening of Christ. There'll never be a personation of that because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's inexistent. And I am warned of this. It's soon. Right at this time now, it's just happened. So it could identify its presence among you. Now we're looking for the coming of the Lord, right? Now just not part of the Lord, but the fullness of the Lord, because that's what's been promised to us, right? So you look at Revelation 10, it was the fullness of the Word that was coming. The head was coming down. The cloud that was in the sky, it was a head joining to the body. So the fullness, this is a second coming of Christ, right? But we know that he says it comes in a certain way. Now the bride of Christ, the rainbow trout wants this. And everybody else, it kind of goes over the top of their heads. They may not care about it. All they're looking at is, you know, the healings and the different types of gifts and things. But the bride is looking at this part. Amen. Now, I am warned that this is soon. Right at this time now it's happened. So it could identify its presence among you, see, but it will not be used in a great way until the council begins to tighten up. So we're talking about the world council begins to press and to squeeze, okay? When that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Now, so when he's talking about you've seen it's in existence, so he's talking about the identification that we've saw through the creative power of God, the spoken word, and different things like that. And so he's saying that it came temporarily and show you that it's here. Amen. Now I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned. First I must continue on. Therefore you've had the word and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. So he's setting the foundation. He set the foundation with the message of the hour. And so if you look at the pyramid, he was setting the foundation so that word, line upon line, so that it would be ready for the posture when Christ comes down, and so we can be the fullness. Do you understand? So he says, I must continue on evangelism. Friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly. See that when something is going to be done. Now you might see some little odd things happen for me, nothing sinful. I don't mean that, but I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because where I reach to now in the ministry, I am dropping back here and watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it because it's going to be used. So he's not giving a lot, but he's waiting. Remember, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So he's waiting for something to happen. And everyone knows that. For certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you'll think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here is to him that has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. So the third pull is here. Now the third pull is related to the seventh seal. Are we all together on that? Amen. And the seventh seal, remember this, there was nothing written in the seventh seal. It just says silence. And the seven thunders, remember, it was all sealed. There's nothing written, just thunders, right? But Brother Bram said those seven thunders were under that seal, that seventh seal. Amen. We're all together on that one. And he said the third pull, he ties them all together. But he says those seven thunders, the coming of the Lord. He says that in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, that these seven thunders, remember, thunders is the voice of God. And that's what we're listening for. It is the coming of the Lord. But remember what he says about the coming of the Lord. Nobody knows when or how. And he says he comes as a thief. So he comes in a way that nobody expects. You understand? It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it, as he told me in the beginning, said, this say nothing of. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself. See, but you, I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be a thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. So when you look at this, Christ has already identified his presence, the fullness of Christ there. But now we're seeing for it to bring us into a rapturing faith. I must lay quiet just a little while. Now remember, and who is listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't be, we can't go any further. We have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. So there's things that have to be in place, things that have to catch up for this thing to move. We know that there's a squeeze that's supposed to take place. We know that there's a council that's going to take place. And we know that places like this will not have a place to worship. It says it will be changed into a storehouse, right? Because this is what's going to happen around us. Now, he's all saying this because, remember, the bride is watching in Matthew 24. She's looking for everything, all these indicators, and she's studying the word and watching because something's in her that's causing her to do this. You know, that those that don't have anything there, there's nothing to bring them, but something is driving the bride to do this. There's something in her to do this. Now, okay, I'm going to read a few things in here, in the seals. Are we all okay? Amen. Question and answers on the seals. So he talks about this third point. He says, you don't get it. You're not supposed to get it. Now he says here, he gives instructions, be real humble, be a Christian, and try to live for God and live honest with your fellow man and love those who don't love you. Don't try to make any. You see, you do. You only make it a mysterious something and mess the real program of God up. He gives these instructions. Don't try to make something up. Don't try to manufacture something, right? Now he says, now just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, he'll send it to you, see? So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something has happened. And now just be real. Don't try to make this a mysterious thing. Just listen to what he's saying. And don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian because you take yourself away from God. And you, if you can understand it, this is that third pull. See, you should have caught that the other day. See? And I believe he's talking about the very Christ that we're looking for. So then, just remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two. See, that's as far as you should know. Now, just remember that. Now, you might make believe that something is singing the certain song. They might not even be there, see, but when it actually strikes the crystal, so something hits, and so it reveals, and that's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation. So we don't want to presume. Presume is to venture without authority. Remember, Brother Branham, he would not want to go to a meeting or do something until he knew it was from God. Then he would go. Then he knew he could stand against any devil that came against him because he knew that he was on God's orders. Amen. And so vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean? Now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now. And so when we transition, when he gets into the seals, he talks about the mind of Christ, and we've read this different times when the supernatural comes in, that's the mind of Christ. You become so far away from your own thinking till in your mind. Don't let me try to explain it. So now he's getting to the mind of Christ, the supernatural, which is the head. Are we all together? Amen. Don't try to explain that of the supernatural. You can't do it. See, only thing is to do is just go right ahead. Now, I'm going to pause that there for a second. So when we look at the different situations in the scriptures, and you can find, I believe, this pattern all throughout from Genesis to Revelations. But God takes a person and he takes them to a place just like Moses, just like Joshua or Joseph, even Daniel, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He takes them to a certain place, but then he brings them down to a certain level. And then he takes them down to where it seems like everything is lost.
That's right.
And then Christ comes on the scene.
Amen.
And then opens the whole thing up. Now look, if you look at this in Genesis, remember we talked about on Wednesday the story of Tamar. There was no offspring for Judah to continue the lineage up to Christ. And so there was something in her because she had the word. She was a predestinated seed of God. And something was driving her to do something. She did not understand it. She did not know the plan of God, what was taking place. But something was driving her because she was a part of that word. And the footsteps of the righteous were ordered of the Lord. And so she did what she did with Judah, however ugly it seemed, right? But it was the will of God. It's a paradox. But so what seemed so ugly and seemed so like disgusting that it was totally rejected by everybody, but God brought out an offspring that would carry the lineage to Christ. When it seemed so dark for Joseph, who seemed to have a bright future, and all these things were going on, but the further he went in his life, the lower it seemed to go. And then the lower it was for his life, but not just his life, but his family's life. The whole nation of Israel was going to die completely. And then somehow, at some point, that God came on the scene and brought him out and brought him to power and turned the whole situation around.
Amen.
So he humbled his servant to that point. He humbled Tamar to the point that she did this adulterous thing. Brought Joseph down to the prison. Humbled him in such a way, but then brought him up. Do you think the devil understood that or can anticipate it? So it was the will of God. It was the mind of Christ that nobody could predict. And so we try to figure out God. We cannot figure out God. And so God, in his mind, when it looked so different and opposite, then he changed it. Nobody would have thought that, Joseph would be in control of all Egypt and save his whole family. You know, the whole thing with Moses. Moses, you know, it looked promising. He was going to be the deliverer. You know, from a human standpoint, you know, from a carnal standpoint, he's going to do it. He's going to deliver them. He's going to be the king of Pharaoh, and then he's going to release Israel. But that's not the way God did it. God did it totally opposite and threw him out in the desert. You know, Pharaoh thought, this pesky guy thought he was the deliverer. He's gone now. And so there's no hope for Israel. I'm just going to beat him down to the ground. But during that 40 years, God was doing something that nobody could see.
Amen.
God hiding in simplicity.
Amen.
And so he was doing something. And then he brought him up to a certain point. And then Pharaoh had no idea that this guy that could not speak, guy that could not, didn't think he had any ability, a guy that had a rod in his hand, would take over his entire country and destroy it. You go into all these stories of Daniel. You go in the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They did not know what God was going to do. They did not. Daniel did not know that God was going to deliver him. But we know that God came down. And in the message of the hour, it says that God's presence came down and shut the mouths of the lion. He said that was the power of love. And we think of love in a certain way, but sometimes we think of it in filial love. But the love of God is different.
Amen. That's right.
It is different.
Amen.
You know, you think that Jesus would go in and heal all those people by the pool of Siloam, but he only went to one.
Right.
And Brother Bam says, compassion is to do the will of God.
Amen.
And so that love was different than what everybody else saying. Oh, why didn't he have compassion? Because that wasn't the will of God. That was the love of God.
Amen.
To go after his seed.
Amen.
To go after his own. I'm running out of time. Let's all stand. You can see the same thing happen to the life of William Branham and how God took him into a high point, but he brought him down so low. He let the world think that he was an outcast. You know, the tax guys, you know, look, he did all this tax stuff. He's messed up. He's not following the rule of law and all this stuff. Now he's spinning out all this doctrine. He had such a promising ministry, but now look at him. He's going down. You know, he doesn't have hardly any followers, but God was doing something.
Amen.
And God gave him the mysteries of Christ.
Amen.
And then brought that to a people. What is God doing to you? Sometimes God is stripping us down. Stripping us down.
Amen.
And we're wondering what is happening to us. You know, maybe our friends are leaving us. Maybe we're being humbled in a certain way at work or whatever, but God is doing the same thing to us. And so don't be surprised when these things are happening, but count it all joy. Lord, I know you're doing something because I have faith and I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I know that you're in control. And that's what the believer does. They may not understand it, but they know that God is in control.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, help us to keep our understanding open, O Lord Jesus, and just be ready, O Father, for whatever you want to do with us, O Lord, in our life, O Lord. We know that we just need to follow what you have given to us. And Lord, at the appropriate hour, you do what you want to do, O Lord. We just want to be a prisoner to you. Lord Jesus, help us as we press on, O Father. Lord, let the word become manifest in our life. Manifest in our walk, O Lord, our talk and everything that we do. Let us live and breathe Jesus Christ every hour of our day, O Lord. Help us, dear Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace, for we would not be able to do this without your grace, O Lord. Lord Jesus, bless your people, O Father. Bless those that are not here. Bless those that are traveling, moving, O Lord, moving around, O Father. Bless the service, song service, and preaching of the word. We thank you, O Lord. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.